Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.com.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and then also Joshua chapter 1. And just follow along with me because I'm going to read some scriptures, and but I'm doing it to set a platform for what we want to talk about. Worship team, thank you very much. Give it up for the worship team. And again, I want to speak to you for the next few moments on the topic of transition. So that's what we're going to read. The first account that we're going to read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're going to read about a time where Joshua is being called by God to lead his people. And then we're going to read in Joshua chapter 1, the time to fulfill that call. Because how many know that when God calls a man, sometimes he will call a man years in advance before that man actually fulfills whatever it is that God wants him to do. So we're going to dive into it a little bit more. But Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 1, the Bible says this. When Moses had finished saying these things to all the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me that I will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. Isn't that great? Like if you knew that God was going with you into a dangerous place, would you go? Right? Heavy stuff. Those words are very important. The Lord has told me I will not cross over the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their nation, of their land. Joshua is your new leader, and he will go with you just as the Lord promised. Verse number 7, then Moses called for Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to give their ancestors. You are the one who will deliver it to them as their inheritance. So again, here you have Joshua being called out by God, by Moses, his leader, and by the Lord to lead the people. So he's basically getting notice that he will be the one to lead the people. Fast forward, Joshua chapter 1. So first, Moses, his leader, speaks to him about what he's going to do. But now God comes to him, and listen to what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross, someone say cross, the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. This morning, like I mentioned, I want to talk to you for the next few moments on the topic of transition. And I want to dive into the life of Joshua for a few moments. You know, the life of Joshua is very interesting and very symbolic within the Bible. And the book of Joshua, which documents Joshua's life, is what we would call a historical book. And it represents a time of transition in history. Now, I chose to originally open up with Deuteronomy chapter 31 because here, Moses is addressing the nation of Israel. And he tells them, I am 120 years old and I am no longer able to lead you. And he tells the people that God spoke to him that he will not be crossing over the Jordan River. So here Moses is at the end of his life, and he's addressing the people he has led for the last 40 years. And he tells them that I am no longer able to lead you. In other words, what he was telling them is there is a new season coming into your life. Here Moses is telling them that I will no longer lead you, but God is raising up a different leader to guide you in the direction you're supposed to be going. In other words, when he addresses the people in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses is priming the people for a transition in leadership. He then tells the people, Joshua is your new leader, and he will go with you just as God has promised. So here Joshua is being called out from the crowd to lead God's people into new territory. He's being called out from the crowd for a time of transition and a new journey. Someone say new journey. How many know that for some of us, it's time for us to take a new journey? Right? How many know new journeys aren't easy? Right? New journeys sometimes cause you to travel down a road that you've never been to before. And sometimes new journeys will cause us to step into the unknown. Now, the unknown has a lot of factors that can sometimes hinder the work of God within our lives. The unknown sometimes has the ability to breed fear within our lives. The unknown sometimes will open the door to anxieties that we may not have dealt with because we've been in a little comfortable place. But here, Joshua is now being called out from the crowd. See, Joshua had been with Moses for 40 years. He was a part of the Egyptian captive. When the Israelites were captive in Egypt, he was there when they were called out, and he was with Moses when they traveled through. He was there with them, but now he was being called to be their leader. Now, what's interesting about this is that Joshua was called out from the crowd and commissioned to lead God's people, but he didn't become the leader right away. Moses was still alive. He was still the nation's leader. But Deuteronomy 31 serves as a transitional point in leadership. For 40 years, the people followed Moses, and they would now have to follow Joshua. Moses is now at the end of his life, and he is, in a sense, passing the leadership baton. And that's when Moses calls Joshua in front of the people. And as everyone watched, the Bible says, Moses talks to Joshua and tells him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land the Lord swore to you. So here Joshua is now being called to do a great work for God. Fast forward, Joshua chapter 1. In the opening verse, God comes to Joshua. What you have to understand is, prior to Joshua chapter 1, God had always spoke to Moses. So Moses would give direction to Joshua. God would speak to Moses. Moses would go to Joshua. But the Bible says this, at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, Moses, my servant, is dead. In the opening verse to Joshua chapter 1, we read God begins to speak to Joshua directly. Prior to this, God would speak to Moses, but now God speaks directly to Joshua, and he tells him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, that is a heavy statement, because the statement, Moses, my servant, is dead, represented a closing of one era and the opening of a new era. It represented the closing of one chapter and the beginning of a new chapter. The phrase, Moses, my servant, is dead, represented the passing of old systems and old methods. Are you hearing me this morning? See, what you have to understand is that Moses, my servant, is dead meant leaving one style of leadership and following a new style of leadership. See, Moses was more of a diplomatic and managerial type leader, which is not a bad thing, because diplomatic and managerial leaders have their place. However, the task of crossing over the Jordan River and entering into a new land where there would be giants and enemies, the diplomatic and managerial leader couldn't lead. In order to cross over, they needed a new leader. They needed a military type leader. They needed a strategic leader. And Joshua was a man for the job. Joshua would be the link or transitional leader for the future. It was a new era, a new day for the children of Israel, and they would experience a whole new style of leadership. Let me give you an example and a glimpse of Joshua's leadership style. When I tell you that Moses was diplomatic, if you read the accounts of Moses, you would see that Moses counseled everybody. And there was even a time in the book of Numbers where his father-in-law came up to him and kind of rebuked him and said, "What is this that you're doing?" Because Moses, from sun up to sundown, he would just counsel everybody and he would solve everybody's problems. But his father-in-law came and said, "What is this that you are doing? You are going to drive yourself into the ground." And he gives him a new strategy. He says, "You got to divide. You got to give responsibility out to other people." But then when you look at Joshua, God speaks to Joshua. He tells him, "You're going to cross over the river." Now watch the transition in leadership. I'm going to give you a glimpse of who Joshua was. So God speaks to Joshua, and the Bible tells us that the very next thing that he did, God tells him, "You're going to cross over the Jordan. You're going to take my people." You know what he did? The Bible says that he started running through the camp and said, "Get your supplies ready, because in 3 days, we're crossing over." He didn't sit there and say, "Hey, listen, you got to get ready. We're going to take a couple weeks and make sure that you're comfortable." No. He went through the crowd and said, "Everybody, get ready. The Lord has spoken. In 3 days from now, we are going to cross over." I don't know about you, but I'm ready to cross over. See, the wilderness where they had been for 40 years, wandering for 40 years in circles. You ever felt like you'd just been going in circles? It was a time to stop going in circles, and it was a time to transition. So here Joshua, God speaks to him, "Take these people over the Jordan." He goes around camp and says, "3 days from now, get your supplies ready. We're crossing over." And watch this. He then speaks to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And the reason he came to these people was because prior to Moses' death, Moses had given them land. But listen to what he says. Watch his strategic and military type leadership. Watch what he says. He tells the people, "Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, 'The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land.'" Watch this. He tells those men, "Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan." Watch this. "But all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you. Then," someone say then. Yes. "Then they too have taken possession of their land." And then he says, "After that, you may go back and occupy your land." What was he doing? In other words, what he was saying was, no. He was holding everyone accountable to doing their part. These men were given a piece of the land on the other side of the Jordan. They didn't have to cross over. But he went to the fighting men and he said, "You and all your fighting men, you're coming with us. And before you go ahead and you enjoy your inheritance, you're going to make sure that your brothers get their inheritance." Are you hearing me? What would life be like if we were dedicated to seeing our brothers and sisters succeed before we kicked back and rested? What kind of a culture would we live in? Let's throw church out for a second. What if there was a society where we were so dedicated that "I want to see you succeed and I'm not going to rest until I see you make it"? And it was reciprocal. "And Brother Kenny, you didn't sleep until you seen that God fulfilled the call upon my life." What would happen if people dedicated themselves to the success of others before they gained rest? See, this morning I want to challenge some thought processes, because sometimes we can get comfortable and enjoying life. I'm not saying that we got to be busybodies. I'm not saying we got to be diehards. That's why I said throw church out of it. Whatever happened to us looking and praying and making sure that other people succeed? Are you hearing me this morning? What does this show us about Joshua's style of leadership? Joshua didn't allow anyone to get comfortable. He held everyone accountable to doing their part. See, crossing over the Jordan River required a new style of leadership. And Joshua would be that leader of Canaan as Moses was the leader of the wilderness. Joshua was charged, watch this, with the unique task in that he was charged with leading God's people successfully into the future without destroying the past. Are you hearing me this morning? Joshua was what we would call a transitional leader. And I say he was charged with leading God's people successfully into the future without destroying the past, because yes, he was called, but he was called to stand on the principles and values that were taught to him by his leaders. And we as God's people, we need to stay in step with the times, but we got to be careful that we don't go fall victim to the glitz and glamour of church. We got to make sure that we got to stay in step with the times. We got to use media to, yes, attract the masses, but not at the cost of holiness, righteousness, and servanthood. We got to make sure that we stand on the values of God's word, and no matter how we try to reach people, listen, I believe and I love what Craig Rochelle says. In his church, this is the model he uses. He says, we will do anything short of sin to make sure someone gets to know Jesus. In other words, he's not going to compromise. He's not going to preach a watered-down gospel, but he is going to give people truth. Are you hearing me this morning? See, crossing over the Jordan requires a new mindset, a new commitment, and a new outlook. And Joshua was being called to lead them to a place they have never gone to, but he had to hold on to the principles and values that were taught to him by Moses. See, we, like Joshua, I believe, are entering into a new day and a new era. Even when you look at our church and our ministry, listen, we are faced with a huge task. I'm dealing with a lot of kids nowadays, and I'm trying to be creative with how to preach to them the gospel, and God has just been reminding me of what I'm actually called to. Listen, I'm not called to something. I am called to someone. I am called to the gospel and the saving power of Jesus Christ. My marching orders have not changed. The marching orders for my life may be different from your life, but at the end of the day, the Bible says that we are called to make disciples of all nations. We are called to preach the good news of the gospel. And if I'm not a good communicator, I can preach with my life. My pastor would always tell me, Eric, preach all day long and use words if you have to. You can preach more with your lifestyle. Listen, you could preach more by smiling when your world is falling apart than you can a sermon. Because people will wonder, man, your world is falling apart and you're going through hell and high water. How is it that you're still standing? How is it that you still got peace? How is it you didn't smack him in his face because he talked to you crazy? It's okay to laugh in church. How is it that you can keep your composure? Well, you know what your reply could simply be? Well, the Bible says that there is a peace that you find in Jesus that you can't find anywhere else. You can with the low tone. I know I yell, I spit from time to times, I jump, but you don't got to do that. You know all you have to tell them is that the Bible says, "Peace I leave you, peace I give you. I do not give like the world gives. Therefore, do not let your heart be troubled." That message will speak louder than any message that could be preached from the gospel. Why? Because we're standing on the principles and values of God's word. I believe that the church in general is entering into a new day and a new era. When you look at our church and our ministry, listen, we are faced with the huge task of communicating and accomplishing the mission of God, which is to make disciples of all nations. I want you to think about that for a second. What does that look like for the 21st century church? To make disciples of all nations. In order to make disciples, you need disciple makers. In order to get disciple makers, disciples have to make a choice to live a step above. In order for disciple makers to be created to disciple other people, the disciples within the congregation got to say, no, I'm going to stand tall. God called me out of the crowd. We develop a heart that says, God, I don't have it all. Listen, that was my prayer. I used to say, God, I don't have it all together. God, I am uneducated. But if you could use my life, here it is. See, this morning I want to stir up your passion because someone out there needs what you have. You have something to give. And sometimes in this society, we size each other up and we size up giftings. Listen, it's not about their gifting. It's about my gifting and how I could use the little that I have to make a difference in someone else's life. We're entering into a new era, church. I believe that God wants to move. I believe that God wants to pour out his spirit. I believe that God is calling the church back to holiness without compromise, because I believe that the last days are here. Revival can only happen when something is almost dead. And I would dare to say that even in our country, listen, we got to be careful. We got to stand for what is right. There is a transition happening in the spirit. We are in a time, listen to me, where there is a desperate need for Lincoln transitional leaders. Lincoln transitional leaders are those who have the ability to grasp the hands of the future generation without letting go of the principles and values of God's word. Listen, we got to reach for the future, but we got to make sure that we keep looking back and look at the milestones of Moses. Look at what Joshua taught us. Look at what David taught us. Look at the perseverance of the Apostle Paul. Look at the commitment and the dedication of King David. We got to make sure that we never forget that Jesus, although he was beaten, although he was bruised, he had an open wound back, and he sat there. He had a long way to go up that road of Calvary, but as he went in pain and in misery of a human, and was still willing to execute the command of God over his life, which was to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We're in a place in history, listen to me, I believe there is a huge leadership vacuum. The world is desperately looking for godly leaders. Today we are charged with the huge task of grasping the future, but communicating the mission and values of the Bible. In other words, we have the responsibility of staying in step with the times, staying in step with God without compromising the principles and values that God has placed within our heart. See, I'm not here to preach convictions. I have certain convictions. If you know me, I don't shove convictions down people's throat. There are certain things I don't do within my life, because if I do them, you may not see me for 3 months. Come on, somebody. There are some things you can do that I can't do, and you'll be just fine. But at the end of the day, because I have a personal relationship with God, I'm not looking to compromise. I'm simply looking, God, what do you want for my life? In other words, what I'm trying to say is this: the recipe for holiness has never changed. And sometimes we make holiness into what we want it to mean based on the time of today. And that's what I mean when I say we have the task of staying in step with the times and staying in step with this generation. But listen, I'm not afraid to tell this generation that no, there are certain things you cannot do because the Bible says it. Or do we just tippy-toe, no, I want you to come to my church, and I want you to be, no. It's about the word of God. It's about truth, and it's about heaven. Someone say heaven. Listen, we have the church of today has a heavy responsibility. See, the vision of our ministry, Victory Outreach, was birthed out of the urgency of going into the dark places to preach the message and hope to the lost and the hurting. It's universal. My heart is to reach anybody that's hurting, anybody that doesn't know Jesus, anybody that is not connected. And that's why you see we want to reach the unchurched. The unchurched is a wide variety. Listen, we have been called out. The church simply means ecclesia. Ecclesia simply means called out ones. Well, what have I been called out to? I've been called out of the world and into the family of God. This is why we invite people to church. This is why we pray before service. This is why we try to set an atmosphere of breakthrough so that people that may not have known peace can find peace when they walk into the house of God. See, I walked in all tormented within my mind 19 years ago. Young man, lost, didn't know, but I walked into the house of God. Someone invited me, someone made me go, and I was tormented in my mind. But I remember walking into that place and feeling, man, there's something different here. There was a peace that I had never felt before, and it was that peace that drove me back. And the disciple makers within the church that identified a young man and said, young man, you need Jesus, let me help you. Are you hearing me? When you think of what it is that God has called us to do, we cannot get comfortable. We cannot get comfortable because the devil's not comfortable. And he's out there ravaging and waiting to work. So here you have God. He's ministering to Joshua. He's telling him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Another one, there's a closing of one era, an opening of a new one. The old systems are now gone, because to enter into Canaan meant that we would now have to take a more strategic, militant strategy. Listen to what he says to him. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 3. Now then, you and all these people, get ready, cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as a promise to Moses. See, the people of Israel were stagnant, and God was calling them out of stagnation. Who's ever been stagnant? Right? You ever knew you had to do something, and you just didn't do it? See, I have a tendency to know I got to do something, and like, I just have a misconception of time. I have like an hour, but what I have to do takes 2 hours. I'll get it done. But how many know that time limits and boundaries close in on you real quick when you got to get something done? So here you have the people of Israel that were stagnant, and God was calling them out of stagnation. It was now time to cross over and possess the land. Listen to me. God wasn't just calling them to cross over to into any land. He was calling them to cross over into a land he had already promised he would give them. Crossing the Jordan River represented new beginnings, which would require faith and action. In order to cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land, people would have to first make a decision that they're going to get there. See, there are promises that God has for your life, but God's just not going to accomplish it. He's going to wait for you to say, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to march in that direction. Are you hearing me? In order to cross over the Jordan River and take possession of the land, the people would have to be proactive and not reactive. If they were going to take the land, they would have to be offensive and not defensive. God was calling the people to cross over. In other words, like it or not, there was no turning back to the wilderness. For some of us, I would dare to say that God is challenging us to cross over from a place of stagnation and into his promises. But in order for that to happen, we got to burn our plan B's. We got to make sure that I can never go back to where I came from. If there was a bridge for me to get to the promise, I got to burn the bridge for my benefit. Are you hearing me? No more going back. In other words, crossing over the Jordan took a mindset that said, I don't know what's on the other side. I'm actually afraid. I heard there's giants over there, but I heard the word of the Lord, and the Bible says that he will be with me. And that is enough for me to stand up and walk across. See, God was calling the people to cross over. Like it or not, there was no going back. There was no wilderness. And for some of us, I think it's time. It's time to cross over. See, crossing over meant the people would have to step into the unknown. It meant they would have to step out in faith. And it meant they had to keep their eyes on the one that called them. See, what's beautiful about God will never call you to step out into the unknown blindly. He may call you to step out to something you've never known. But if we read our Bible, we're praying to him, God will give you glimpses and hints of the direction you're supposed to be going. I often tell the story of playing hide and seek with my children. When I play hide and seek for my children, I hide for them for a short period of time. The goal is not to hide from them so that they would eventually grow scared. Who's ever done that? Who's parents where you hid long enough where you're like, I'm gonna let them get scared? God doesn't do that. What do we do as parents? When we truly play hide and seek with our kids, they're like looking, they can't find us. What do you do? Here I am. I'm over here. Well, spiritually, God does the same way. The Bible says that when we seek him wholeheartedly, we will find him. See, let me just throw this out there. God is not lost. God hasn't changed. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's already there. But it's our focus and our perception. See, God will never call you to step out into the unknown blindly. If God calls you to step out into the unknown, it's because he already has something he wants to do within us. And those of you that have been walking with God, you know that the history of you stepping into the unknown, yes, it's scary at the beginning, but stepping into the unknown is a beautiful place to be, because that's where you experience the power of God. See, when God calls a man, he normally calls a man with promise. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to this. Now then, he calls Moses, he calls Joshua, you and all these people get ready, cross to the Jordan River. Watch this. Into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites, and I will give you every place where you step your foot. There was really no other direction. Think about that. The land of Canaan had its war stories. The land of Canaan was full of giants. But Joshua zoned out all the negative stuff, and all he kept reciting within his mind, I will give you every place you set your foot. There was no clear direction but cross over. And I would dare to say that some of you, you might be at a place of frustration. As I was playing, the Lord was showing me that there are some people that are frustrated. But part of the reason they're frustrated is because it's time for them to cross over. And until you cross over, you're not going to find the next step. So we're over here angry with God. We're frustrated with God. But all along, God's sitting there on the other side saying, cross over. I'm right here. Cross over. What you need is over here. Cross over. Just trust me. Well, God, I need to see. God, you need to give me the blueprint. No, the blueprint is in my hand. And if you cross over, I'll give it to you. Someone say it with me. It's time to cross over. See, God had given them a promise. He gave the children of Israel a promise. First of all, he gave Moses a promise. That promise was transferred to the children of Israel. And now that God had called Joshua a new leader, that promise was given to Joshua. God had given him a promise. In other words, he gave him a guarantee. All he had to do was cross over. Listen, life will not always make sense. But when God speaks, listen to me. You have to take hold of that promise. If let's just say, I don't know, it's hypothetical. Your world is falling, or you have a family member that's gone. Some of you heard my mother up here testify not that long ago. That was a promise God gave to her. Before I gave my life to the Lord, my mom started going to church 3 years prior. I used to make fun of her. Our whole family would gang up on her. And I'll never forget, she looked at me one time. She was crying because she was tired of us making fun of her. She said, you can laugh at me all you want, but God has promised me that one day you will serve God. And I kept laughing at her. And she said, don't keep laughing because you're going to be the one that's called to preach. I was a promise that my mom held on to for 3 years. See, there are family members that I have that still haven't accepted the Lord and that are living wild lives. But I'm believing God, and I am praying, and I am trusting that God will save their soul and send somebody. See, my family's in California, so some of my prayers are, God, would you send somebody to my sister? God, would you send somebody to my cousin? This is the city he lives in. This is the company he works for, and he desperately needs to know you. Would you please call somebody out of the crowd with confidence and courage to minister to his life? And I've gotten stories. One of my cousins, just like straight gangster. I mean, like my whole dad's side of the family are all gang members. He was in and out of juvenile. He was facing a big trial for murder. One of them is in there for life. He reached out to me about a year ago. He said, "Hey, cuz, how are you?" And I remember going to his son's birthday party, and it was in the wrong neighborhood. Now, where I'm from, colors matter. Like, you can't wear red in a blue neighborhood. And I went to my cousins, everybody was wearing their gang colors. And I was like, oh, God, I might die tonight. But I got a beautiful Facebook messenger about a year ago. He said, "Hey, cuz, are you still preaching the gospel?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Bro, I want to tell you, God saved my life. I'm a born-again believer." See, God will give you a promise that sometimes you will have to stand and fight for. Promises aren't free. You're going to have to work and believe. God will give it to you, but there'll also be requirements attached to that promise. And the requirements are usually to grow us and build our faith so that we can get a better understanding of who He is. When we have a greater understanding that He's able to heal, we start walking in healing. When we begin to see that He is able to do all things, we walk in a different set of power. Are you hearing me? As I close, Brother Eric, you can make your way on up. So here he calls, God speaks to him. He says, go over the Jordan. He tells him, I am going to give you every place you set your foot on, but watch this. This is all he had to do. God speaks to Joshua and says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. See, one of the main messages I want to bring to the church today, and I pray this is for someone, it's simple. Inheriting your promise is going to take courage. And courage is the quality that enables a person to stand in the face of difficulty. Courage doesn't mean you're not afraid. It just means you're willing to look fear in its face and said, I'm not going nowhere. Not today. No more running. No more running from my calling. No more running from my past. No more. I will stand on the side of what's good. I will fight for peace. And I will trust in my God. See, if you're going to inherit the promises of God over your life, you will first have to choose to cross over in your heart. You're going to have to make a decision. Listen, when I came, I knew God had called me to pastor. I knew it. I had a lot of fears. I had a good job. I owned my own house. I had two small little kids who are now older. And I'll never forget when they called me, they said, listen, we want you to take over this church. I remember the fear. I remember the struggle. But I knew God had called me. I remember battling with God. And I remember God saying, I'll be with you. That's all I needed. It hasn't been easy. I still don't have the whole roadmap. But I'll tell you this, from glory to glory, I've gotten to know God in a greater way, and I've seen people's lives touched and transformed by God's word. I tell you that to say this, God had called me to pastor a church, but I had to first decide in my heart I would go willingly and wholeheartedly. When I gave my life to pastoring this church, I laid it down. I gave it all up. I sold my house. I quit my job. And by faith, I stood. And I tell you this because whatever God has promised your life, you're going to have to make a decision to just do it. No more waiting. No more going. To inherit the promises of God over your life, listen to me. Crossing over means giving up old habits and creating new habits. Crossing over means doing away with the old way of thinking and learning to think different. Crossing over meant leaving bondage in the wilderness and choosing freedom on the other side of Canaan. Last thing I'll say is this. God didn't allow the people to cross over the Jordan until a lot of people died. A lot of people, literally, they died. They 40 years. The Bible says that a whole generation that didn't believe passed away. And the new generation was able to cross over. Do you know why? They were unwilling to change the way that they thought. Their mentality was always grumbling. Their mentality was always questioning God. But this is what you have to understand. You cannot enter into the land of promise with the old way of thinking. Remember, the people came from Egypt and were out of slavery. In other words, they couldn't enter into the land of Canaan with an Egyptian mentality. Some of us got to smash old ideologies, philosophies, and we need to trade them in for the Word of God. Let me give you an ideology that needs to be smashed. You know that ideology that people use on the streets, trust no one? That's not an ideology of the world. That you and me against the world, it sounds good and it sounds nice, but that's not of God. Well, you cut me, I cut you. That's not of God. Well, you did me wrong, I'm not going to forgive you. The whole message of the gospel is one of love and forgiveness. This morning, would you stand with me?